upon him. Father, as we go into your word now and as we sit at your table, I pray that you would capture our hearts, capture our attention. Lord, as we go into this brand new year, Lord, I pray that we would move into the future, move forward with our eyes upon you, not resting on past victories, not being paralyzed by past defeats. Just simply letting that all go and fixing our eyes upon you. Encourage us greatly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus made a statement in verse 62 of Luke chapter 9 that I think is a perfect statement for us to consider as we go into this new year. Look at it. Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Chew on that statement. Consider that statement this morning. Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." As many of you already know, a plow is a large farming implement with one or more blades attached to a fixed frame. It's used to cut furrows in the soil, to overturn the soil, to get the soil in a field ready for the planting of seed. And today, of course, we pull plows with tractors, but in the old days, they used animals. You had one wooden plow, one blade, attached to a pair of oxen, a pair of donkeys. Those animals would pull the plow, but the plower, the farmer, stood behind, held onto the bar, held onto that plow, steered that team. And the person who put his hand to the plow had two responsibilities. First, hold on. Hold on tight, keep that blade in the ground. And then the second responsibility was to look straight ahead. When you put your hand to the plow, that was not the time to go all ADD. Looking here, looking there, looking up, looking behind, pulling out your cell phone. No, 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 no. When you put your hand on the plow, you held on and you looked straight ahead so that you could cut straight furrows. And the analogy is clear. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying when you decide to do something, when you decide to accomplish something, when you decide to engage in activity, then go for it. Be disciplined. Be focused. Be dedicated. Be committed. Hold on to that task. Plow forward. Don't look back. Jesus would say, you've got a job to do. You're going to encounter rough patches. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be obstacles. But you hold on to that plow. You keep looking straight forward, straight ahead. Don't let go. If Jesus were using New Year's lingo, he would say, if you make a resolution, keep it. Keep it. Now, I know a lot of us don't take resolutions seriously. People even make jokes about resolutions, right? You keep them for a couple months. But I want to challenge you this morning on this first Sunday in the New Year's. Make some resolutions. Make some goals. Be resolute about your resolutions. Take time. You know, some of you probably need to make goals and plans for your business or your career. Very important. Take time to plan. Put your hand to the plow. Hold on. Don't look back. Don't be distracted. Maybe some of you are getting your education very important thing. Don't let anything distract you from that. Put your hand to the plow. Hold on. Don't look back. This is a good time of year to make resolutions concerning your physical health. Perhaps some of us need to go on a diet. Kick an unhealthy habit. Exercise. Make that decision. Put your hand to the plow. Hold on. Don't look back. Maybe there's issues in marriages, in families, between parents and kids. There's some things that need to be settled. Put your hand to the plow. Don't be distracted. Hold on. Don't look back. Maybe you're a part of a ministry here at the church or a ministry here in the community of El Paso. Important. Make plans. Think through it. Put those things in place. Put priorities in place. Zig Ziglar said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Think. Prayerfully consider your life. What are going to be your goals this year? Now, all of those things that I mentioned are very important. Your career, your business, your family, your marriage, your health, a ministry. But in this text, Jesus is speaking about the most important thing in your life. The most important thing that you can do with your life this year. Clearly, in this verse, Jesus is speaking about discipleship. He's saying, be a committed disciple of mine this year. And I believe that would be his exhortation for all of us. He would say to each one of us, I want you to be my committed disciple this year. I want you to notice the context in which he made this statement. Look up at verse 57. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he, Jesus, said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Those verses speak of three would-be followers of Jesus. And you notice, the issue is, follow me. Will you follow me? And that is exactly what a disciple of Jesus is. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. Someone who is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Not a two-day-a-week disciple, but a seven-day-a-week disciple. Not somebody who would sit on the fence. Somebody who's all out. And Jesus is saying, be that this year. Be a committed disciple. Take hold of that plow. Don't let go of it this year. Don't look back. Look straight ahead. I encourage all of us to be that this year. Amen? Listen. Here we are, first Sunday morning, sitting at the Lord's table, brand new year. Commit yourself to Jesus this year. Let Jesus be first place. Let him be Lord of everything in your life, Lord of your career, Lord of your business, Lord of your marriage, Lord of your education, Lord of your body, Lord of your ministry. Keep him first place. A disciple also means to be a learner of Jesus Christ. Be committed to growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this year. You'll spend time with him. You'll spend time with Jesus in prayer. You'll spend time with him in his word daily, reading the Bible. You might say, preacher, I read the Bible last year. Open up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 this year. Start again. You know, I found that every time I read through the Bible, it's like peeling a layer off an onion. There's always something that you're going to learn. There's always something that the Lord wanted to teach you. Be committed. Attend church regularly this year because the Lord tells us we need that. And not just to be an attender of church, be involved in church. Get involved in serving Christ in your local body this year. Be dedicated to Christian fellowship this year. Have your best friendships become Christians this year. Be a witness for Jesus Christ this year. You are a born-again Christian. Be a light that shines in that dark place where God has put you uniquely this year to be a witness unto the truth. Commit yourself to that. Put your hand to the plow. Don't let go. And keep going forward. Now, I'm going to promise you something. If you do that, your life, your year is going to be very special. I am not going to promise you that it will be the easiest year in your life. In fact, when you decide to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you take hold of that plow, at that time, you become a target, and life can even get more difficult. And there will be obstacles thrown in your way. Hold on. I promise you, you will be fruitful. You will be a warrior in the battle. God will use you in mighty ways. You know, it's interesting. In verse 62, Jesus says, the person who would take hold of the plow and then look back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. He would say the person who takes hold of the plow and keeps looking forward without being distracted, that person is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, please understand, that has nothing to do with salvation. That doesn't have anything to do with entrance into the kingdom of God. You can't work your way into heaven, can you? You can't plow your way into heaven. It is very clear we get saved through faith in Jesus Christ, who did all the work for us at the cross. We get to heaven, we get into the kingdom of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. This word fit here, literally in the Greek, means suitable, usable. That is, if you take hold of that plow and you determine you're not going to let go, it makes you most suitable, most usable, most fit for the kingdom of God, and God will use you in mighty ways. Exciting ways. And possibly in ways like he's never used you before. Paul the Apostle made a promise to us in Galatians chapter 6. Let me just read it to you. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Grab hold of the plow. Don't lose heart. You will reap. I believe God has some wonderful things in store for us this year. Wonderful things in store for you. Have that mindset. Be courageous. Amen? Nobody's going to plow perfectly. But try. Don't be a wishy-washy Christian this year. All in. Grab hold of the plow. God will do some amazing things in and through your life. Mahalia Jackson. This was a woman who was born in 1911. She died in 1972. At one point, she was called the Queen of Gospel Music. You have to Google this girl. See video of her singing. Absolutely amazing. She became very active in the 1950-1960 civil rights movement. In fact, she became a close associate of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he invited her to sing at one of his rallies where they were raising funds for the bus boycott. Montgomery, Alabama, very intense time. A death threat was put on her head. And yet she went to the rally and she sang. And she inspired lots of people. Do you know one of her most well-known songs is based on the verse I brought you to this morning? In fact, it's called, "Keep Your Hand on the Plow, Hold On." She sings, "Heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. When my way gets dark as night, I know the Lord will be my light. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. You can talk about me as much as you please. The more you talk, I'm going to stay on my knees. Keep your hand on the plow. Hold on. When I get to heaven, going to sing and shout, be nobody there to put me out. Keep your hand on the plow. Hold on." I love this. "I know my robe's going to fit me well because I tried it on at the gates of hell. Keep your hand on the plow. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your hand on the plow." Oh, you should hear her sing that. You should hear the passion. It was one of the most intense points in many people's lives, and God used her to inspire many, and great victories were won at that time in the civil rights movement. Folks, I believe that God wants to do great things in your family this year, in your circle of friends, in your community. And it's not always going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Maybe you're the only believer in your circle of friends. Maybe you're the only true believer in your family, and God is calling you. Take that plow. Hold on. Straightforward. Let God use you. There are some distractions that are alluded to here, these three would-be followers. Again, in verse 57, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" "I'll follow you, Lord. I'll put my hand to the plow." And Jesus says, "Hold on a second. It may cost you some stuff. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. I have nowhere to lay my head." In other words, I think Jesus was touching on that one area in that man's life that would hold him back. His creature comforts, his houses, his cars, his material possessions. That can be a distraction in your life. I'm telling you, I'm going to hold on to the plow, but then the pull of the world. Don't worship stuff this year. Don't let that be why you get out of bed every morning. Gotta go get some more stuff. Gotta protect my stuff. Don't take my stuff. Worship the Lord of stuff. How about this one? Worship the God who gave you all your stuff. How about using your stuff for God, for His kingdom this year? Maybe you'll have to forego some stuff. Will you be willing? The second guy, Jesus said to him in verse 59, he said to another, "Follow me." But this man said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." That sounds a little rude, doesn't it? Here's a guy, his dad's just died. Jesus says, "Follow me." And he says, "I got to go bury my dad." And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead." In those days, there was an expression when people said, "I want to go bury my dad." That didn't mean that dad had died. That could mean that dad was well along in age towards the end of his life. But what this guy was saying is, "Let me go help my dad until he dies. Let me go there. He's still got some work. We'll transfer the business. We'll take care of all those details. I'll get that all set up and running. And after I get that all taken care of, then I'll come follow you." And you realize that can be a real distraction for many people. Let me take care of career first. "Lord, I'll follow you as soon as I make that first mill." Jesus would say, "Take hold of that plow now. Let the Lord be the Lord of your career." Amen? You know, He can use your career in a mighty way. Serve the Lord. And then this last guy in verse 60. One. Another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Here's a guy who wanted to say goodbye to all of his friends, all of the relationships in his life. "I'll follow you, Jesus, but let me take care of my friendships and the relationships first." And I will tell you, there will be distractions. If you decide to hold on to that plow, there are going to be people who come into your life that want to be your friend, that want to be in a relationship with you, and maybe they're distractions to you plowing straight. And Jesus needs to be your best friend. And my prayer for all of us would be that we would find friends and relationships in people who have also put their hand to the plow. Amen? And they're plowing forward. And we're encouraging one another. "Hey, let's plow together. Let's work the fields." Put that hand to the plow. Hold on. Look straight ahead. I think Jesus is worth it. I think Jesus deserves our first love, don't you? I think He deserves our full surrender. Because think about what all He did for you. Think of how dedicated and committed Jesus has been to you. He took hold of a plow, didn't He? He held on. In fact, it's actually really kind of neat. Look a little bit further up in our text. Look at verse 51. Very interesting. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for Him to be received up, that He, Jesus, steadfastly did what? Set His face to go to Jerusalem." Do you realize this is when Jesus is going to Jerusalem? He knows He's going to be betrayed. He knows He's going to be arrested. He knows He's going to be beaten. He knows He's going to be mocked. He knows that He's going to be crucified. He knows that as the perfect Lamb of God, He's about to carry your sin, my sin. He's about to experience pain like no other person has ever experienced pain. He didn't have to, but it says he set his face steadfast. I'm going to Jerusalem. Straight ahead. Look what he did for you. Look what your Lord did for you. Jesus left heaven, came to this earth, gave his life, gave everything, shed his blood, broke his body. For you, for me. On the third day, rose again, defeated death. He's alive today, and the Bible says if you will place your faith in him, you will enter the kingdom of God. All of your sins will be forgiven. Brand new start. The promise of heaven when you die. Jesus was all in for you. I think at the communion table we should decide to be all in for him, don't you? Christian, I invite you to take these moments. We're about to distribute these elements. I'm going to ask that you would hold them. We'll partake of these together. But as you're holding them, evaluate your life. Surrender your life to him. Don't be afraid. Jesus is much better at handling your life than you are. I remember there was a time in my life,
I'm going to be the captain of my ship.
Shipwreck. Let Jesus be your captain. Trust him with your life. Let him move in your life this year. Let him move through your life this year. As I said, nobody's going to plow perfectly. But let's try. And when we blow it, let's go back to our Lord. Amen? Take the time. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. The guys that are helping me distribute.